Peace be with you. And happy Pick on Thomas Day. That's how it's often treated, isn't it? Doubting Thomas. But why not? After all, in his own words, Thomas would never believe until he saw proof that Jesus was indeed alive. He'd have to put his fingers into the wounds in his hands and his feet, and he would have to thrust his hand into Jesus' side before he would ever believe. Trusting in what you see isn't faith, it's proof. But this is where Christians with the best intentions tend to go off track. Just like seemingly we forget, or we don't pick on the women who were the first to be at the tomb that Easter morning. We don't give them any recognition for how they forgot or they doubted that Jesus had told them that he was going to die and 3 days later he was going to raise from the dead. We also don't like to pick on Thomas for his unbelief or his doubt, because we can relate to Thomas, can't we? We understand. We get it. So instead, we made excuses for Thomas. Oh, because Thomas wasn't there when Jesus first saw his disciples. They all got to see the resurrected Jesus before Thomas. So now it's okay to covet and not believe, so long as you've got a good reason, right? Well, unbelief is never okay with Jesus. There is never a situation or a circumstance in which unbelief or failure to trust in God above all things is permissible. It's just not. God doesn't see it that way. Your Lord never blesses unbelief. He doesn't. No matter what. He said, Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And with these words of the Lord, all excuses for unbelief are shot down. With these words, our Lord makes it crystal clear to us that seeing before believing is not okay. Ever. In a loving but firm manner, your Lord calls Thomas and his unbelief. He calls them out. He doesn't let it slide. The gospel immediately goes on to tell us that Jesus had done many other miraculous things in the presence of the disciples that weren't recorded, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the whole point of today's gospel lesson. That to make excuses for Thomas's unbelief, that this is the point. Faith comes by hearing by the word of Christ. The Bible tells us that in Romans 3:17. I know we don't want to pick on Thomas's refusal to believe, but that's precisely why this account is recorded in the scriptures. For us and our faith, it's a great lesson in what not to do, and so you may have peace. Our gospel today began with the disciples behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. These disciples, they were very well-known followers of Jesus. And in that time and in that place, the culture of the society around them was, well, they were dead set on persecuting those who claimed to be a follower of Jesus, the Christians. The chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, all of those guys, they had it all wrapped up. See, they were hammering that only by following the law to the very letter of the law could be a means of life. only by the law. Well, we can't follow the law. And then in the time that this was written, the Romans were swarming all over the place. They were creating disorder and they were destroying rather than building up. Oh, and then there were the Gentiles. The Gentiles of all people were to be avoided by the Jews. Why? Well, the Gentiles, they don't believe in anything. Not anything that's worthwhile. Hasn't really changed much, has it? There are still those who are in authority thinking they can rule this man with a fist of law and satisfy their own lusts and their own wallets. There are plenty from those in this country and from other countries and different religions that seek to overtake and rule with nonsensical rules and contrived beliefs. And yes, there is a growing horde of self-righteous, self-consumed, and self-pleasing individuals who want you to believe that he is a she and I am an it. If you think there hasn't remained throughout all the centuries persecutions of the Christian faith, then you haven't seen the news recently out of Sri Lanka. Some terrorists simultaneously bombed a few Christian churches and a couple of hotels there in Sri Lanka on Easter morning while they were worshiping. Oh, and then they bombed some more just yesterday morning. They did it again. Hundreds of Christians were killed because of their belief in 2019. And then early yesterday morning, did you see this in the news? I doubt it, because it was a little quiet story stuffed way in the back. The authorities in Sri Lanka raided an Islamic terrorist house, a place that was known to harbor terrorists. They raided it, and inside they found all of the adults had committed mass suicide. They even killed all of their children with them. They just found them yesterday morning. I can't understand how people can be swayed to follow a fabricated and false god and go about killing others and themselves when they think they're obtaining some misconception of paradise. But then again, I really do know why. It's because of Satan. Satan's business, and he has twisted the beliefs of a people, and as they follow the devil, oh, so many others are affected, and they're affected in terrible and awful ways. Therefore, as God knew that we would be persecuted for believing in his son, Jesus Christ. He knew it, so he sent his son to rise from the tomb as we celebrated last week. By the presence of God's own Son, Jesus Christ, we find shelter from the storms of those who would rather Christianity didn't even exist. And no, we're not about to go locking our doors as we gather to worship. At least just not yet. But persecution happens no matter where you're at. Whether it's even in your own home, out on the street, or in your workplace. This tempest befalls even the tiniest of lives, you know that? Hence our fight for the life of the unborn. I got a quote here from Virginia Flo. She's the regional director in Minnesota for the Lutherans for Life. She said, "Life is a gift not to be discarded. It can indeed make us weary when we do our work to proclaim life as valuable, and then the world continues to abort babies, and they write prescriptions for people to commit suicide, and they minimize the value of life in oh so many ways. Yet it is encouraging to know we have the gift of prayer to use to strengthen us, knowing the God of life is always in front of us, guiding our way, always behind us, holding us up, and always beside us, keeping us focused on the right course. The living breath of God comes into these bodies of ours, and they have raised us to the fullness of life. The fullness of life in God our Father. And therefore we have peace. Mere preaching accomplishes this miracle. More specifically, the mere word of God accomplishes this life-giving miracle. It's the same word of God who became flesh and died and rose again. The same word of God in the flesh who bids Thomas to touch and see and believe. It's the same word of God in the flesh who enlightens Thomas to true and everlasting life. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the same word of God in the flesh who comes to us today when we celebrate Holy Communion. In with and under that bread and that wine is the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. And it's kind of strange to think about it, but, and it's even a little contradictory. Jesus himself declares, blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe, and yet he still comes to us today in real and tangible forms. Things that we can see, touch, taste. He still bids us to come and taste and see what he has done as our Lord, that he is our Lord, and that he is keeping his promise to be with us always and give us peace. The Word of God works this miracle of life, true life, to the fullest. Peace and salvation is that simple. The Holy Spirit, the very breath of Almighty God, gives true and eternal life to all of those who are dead in their sin. Behold, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here is that almighty word and breath at work in our very midst right here. Here is that life-giving word and breath at work right where he promises that he will be here in his holy house. We come to worship and praise him, doing exactly what he has always done, giving his gift of life to a tiny seed in a woman's body, giving life to the elderly and the infirm, to the grandchild and the grandmother, to my neighbor and your neighbors. God gives us life. He gives us hope. God gives us comfort. And he gives us peace to all who are struggling in the blindness of despair and doubt. You really not need to look any further, huh? You don't have to look any further than this baptismal font right here. It doesn't look like much, does it? Looks like a little piece of wooden furniture up here right now. That ain't much. But here we baptize people, and right here, the Holy Spirit enters into that person, and they become a child of God. Right there. I've done it in the jail, in the prison, in the jail here in Willie County. I've taken in water, and I've baptized people inside the jail. And the Holy Spirit enters them right there inside the jail. I've done it in a nursing home. Baptized a woman who was about to take her last breath. We baptized her. We couldn't find any thing in the record that she had at that time. So we baptized her and she became a child of God. So I know it doesn't look like much, but this is where and how God breathes his gift of eternal life into all of his children. and look at this altar and listen to his word read regularly, and you'll hear his promise. As often as you do this, in remembrance of me, he says, this is my body and blood, he says, given and shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Where there is forgiveness, there is life, true and eternal life. Here is where and how God breathes his gracious gifts of grace, mercy, and peace into your weary self, into your old Adam's flesh, which still tends to doubt and despair when our eyes or our hearts lead us astray. And they cause us to doubt him, and often will forget his rich and unconditional promise of forgiveness and reconciliation in Christ, through Christ, and because of Christ. May this almighty word of God breathe life, joy, and peace into you. Praise Christ. Praise him who died and rose again for us and for our salvation. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. May your eyes and ears of faith be open to recognize and to rejoice the resurrected and victorious Christ. He's in your midst. He's with you always. It is truly life-giving word and breath, this breath of God, also go forth from you as you navigate the valley of the shadow of death, which we dare to call this life. May you humble yourself to be the mouthpiece from which God breathes his life-giving breath to all of those who we see who remain dead in their sin. May you ever be blessed with the faith that is able to see and hear and recognize and hold fast to your Lord Jesus Christ, who is with you now and all into eternity. In his life-giving name, amen. Now we have peace.